Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy virtual conference designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
All right. Thank you for having me here. I'm Devo. I'm just going to lightly introduce myself again, just because I'm assuming not everybody was part of that original part. I am a corporate refugee. I am a serial founder. I'm on my fifth business now. I am a plant collector. Actually, I'm not any of these things. These are things that I do. I'm a world traveling enthusiast and an aspiring chef. And I started out telling stories with a camera. I traveled the world doing it. I host the Brand Laboratory podcast, and somewhere along the way, I realized that the real work was never the photography or the podcast or the brand or the strategy. It was the human underneath it, and we're going to get into that a little bit today. So now what I'm doing is I'm helping founders and leaders make sense of who they are so that what they build actually reflects that. And I work at this intersection of what I call personal development and brand strategy. And it's sort of, in my experience, I sort of arrived at this through my own being my own guinea pig. Your business is usually just mirroring something happening inside of you, good, bad, or ugly. And it's really a situation of whether you have taken the time and the awareness to actually look at that. So my God-given gift is pattern recognition and language, and I help people articulate what they are already feeling deep inside and maybe have not been able to name yet. And I have found that when that clicks, everything else tends to get a whole lot easier. So your messaging sharpens, your ideal client collections, your decisions, all of those things just become more optimized. So anyhow, that's me. That's the work I'm doing. Today, I'm going to talk about You Are the Brand, and small apologies, that's not what is titled in the syllabi. Christine, Jose, please forgive me. I actually woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and had this epiphany on how I wanted to make a small pivot. Same delivery, same landing. Don't worry, you don't have to change anything, but there are some slight tweaks to how I'm going to talk about some stuff today. And that being said, before I dive in, I do want to take a moment to say thank you to CLA for creating this container for these conversations to even exist in the first place. These kinds of rooms do not happen by accident. They're built very intentionally, and I'm genuinely honored to be part of that. Also, huge gratitude to Christine for the care, the vision, and the countless unseen hours that it takes to pull something like this off. I know how much work lives behind the scenes, and I wanted to say thank you. It doesn't go unnoticed. And thank you for everyone who's here listening to me, for showing up, for being open, and for being willing to engage in something that's a little deeper than surface level business talk. And so I'm really excited to share with you my sort of little zone of genius in the world. And again, I titled it You Are the Brand. It's how your inner world shapes your work, your relationships, and the life that you keep recreating. And I want you to kind of pause on that word recreating, and you'll see where I'm going with that in a minute. So I did not get into branding on purpose, really. There was no master plan. There was no 5-year vision board. There was no moment where I woke up at 3 a.m. like I did today and said, you know what? The world needs another branding strategist. And if you go on LinkedIn, you're like, oh my God, there's branding people everywhere. So I kind of fell into this by accident. And so let me tell you that story. So years ago, I was a photographer, and that was my world. I told people's stories with a camera, and I got to travel the world doing it on someone else's dime. And that's pretty much it. And at the time, I thought that was the job. Take good photos, deliver them, move on. By the way, very transactional in those days for me. And then I met a woman from Hilton Head through Instagram, ironically, and she was building this massive presence on social media long before most of us were on social media, I would take a good guess. I remember sitting there watching what she was doing, sometimes filming her. I was her photographer and videographer on a regular basis, sometimes annoyingly. And I just remember thinking, holy shit, people are really eating up what she's laying down. And it wasn't because of her aesthetics, although she did look good doing it. It wasn't because of this algorithm. This was the prehistoric days of Instagram before the algorithm even existed. It was when Instagram and social media still had a soul. And she was telling the story of her life. She was talking about her journey, her perspectives, her world, how she sort of viewed the world and all the little subtleties and nuances that were part of that. And people were following her they weren't just following her, like as a social media term. They were feeling her. Okay, wait, that sounds a bit weird. But yeah, they were sort of feeling her emotionally. And you could tell by the comments in every single post that she put out. And that was the moment that something really clicked for me. Because when I started to reflect on what she was doing so well, I realized that that's what I had also been doing in photography, which is one of the reasons I was probably attracted to her unconsciously in the first place. But I was doing this the entire time. I just never had any language for it. And I realized the more I reflected on this and journaled about it and sort of thought about how I got into this position, people didn't hire me because I was some extraordinary photographer. And if we're being honest, truthfully, I was a pretty average photographer, technically speaking. I do have some gifts, but technically speaking, if you were to put me in a room with photographers, they would laugh me out of the room. But what I was good at, what I was better at than most people I encountered, was seeing the big picture of the situation. I'm very intuitive. I could feel where people were and are emotionally. I could meet them where they were, and I would draw them out and make them really comfortable in front of my camera and tell their story through my lens. And that became my magic sauce. And I just didn't realize that that's what I was doing at the time. I didn't have any language for this. I just kept seeing this pattern sort of reoccurring and why people were hiring me. And they would literally come to me and say, I saw this photo. I saw that image. I saw that thing you put on Instagram. And I just love how everybody felt so natural and charismatic and having fun. And that was the key. So side note here, I just want to pause. Psychologists have long known that humans don't experience life as a series of events per se. We experience it as a story, as an identity itself, as sort of a narrative that we're living inside. So I want to repeat that. So we experience life as a story and the identity of the narrative that we live inside. So I just kind of want to let that land for a second. And if you want to take some notes on that, we can digest that a little bit further perhaps. But once I saw that connection, once I saw that, felt that, and understood that clearly, I couldn't unsee it. And so what I started to do is I started to experiment. I took what I had learned from my partner. I took what I had learned in establishing my own presence, and I started experimenting. And I began interviewing every single client that I would meet with before I took their photographs. I wanted to know their story. How did they meet? Where'd they fall in love? How'd they fall in love? What mattered to them? What shaped them? What did they believe as humans? And when I posted their photos after the session, I would post these really cool, dramatic stories about them alongside them. And something crazy started to happen in my social media. People weren't just liking the photos. They were bonding with these stories, and they were engaging with these stories, and they were asking questions. And it was almost like it was like reality TV on Instagram in a way. And what was crazy is something wild began to matriculate. The people that were watching my stories were bonding with these stories. And my social media audience started to grow fast. My engagement exploded. People commented like they actually knew the couple. This is before Instagram implemented these crazy algorithms. And what they wanted was more stories. They ate them up. And the thing about stories that's so fantastic and so powerful is stories create an emotional connection. Deep down inside, that's what binds us to everyone else. Everyone that's listening to this conference, everyone that's joined this conference, everyone that's met Jose or Christine or anyone else for that matter, you connect with those people based upon the stories that we tell. Because story creates this identity, and it gives meaning, it gives depth, it gives safety to everything that we experience. And at the time, I sort of thought, maybe this is just good marketing, right? These are all like post-game inflection points, right? And it wasn't good marketing. It was something else. It was something much, much deeper. And we're going to sort of continue to get into that. Then something else started to happen in the process simultaneously. Clients whose weddings I had traveled the world or photographed their weddings locally, these people that I had already established these relationships with, they started reaching out to me because they also own businesses and they wanted brand content. They wanted videos. They wanted more content. They wanted stories. They saw what I was doing and wanted to know how I was doing that and wanted some of the same. And because my partner and I were connected at the hip, we were both sort of doing the same thing and we were like this magic duo. And it was crazy because this was at the same time when this whole idea of social media for businesses was really catching on. Everybody started to realize that you didn't just have to post selfies on social media. You could actually use it in a congruent and profitable business way if you did it right. And so we started doing that work. And this is where everything began to change. Everything in my life changed at that moment. Because during the onboarding, when I would bring these new clients on, these friends that I had photographed, these clients that I had photographed their weddings, where I'd spent time in Portugal with, and I had these really cool relationships with people. So it was really cool. It was very unsettling for them. They would sort of come to me and relax in the moment, right? But anyhow, during the onboarding, which at the time was a very loose interpretation of the term onboarding, I realized something unsettling for me, that most of these people that I was working with had no idea how to talk about their business. I'm not joking. They didn't understand their strengths. They didn't understand their superpowers. They didn't understand what they believed. They didn't understand what their company stood for. Half the time, they didn't even know exactly what problem they really wanted to solve for at the end of the day. And they had no idea what type of clients that they really, truly wanted to work with, or even how their clients, their audience, the people they were selling to perceived them, or how they wanted to perceive them. And it was insane, because I remember I'd be on these sets with these clients filming, taking content with them. And, you know, we were doing a lot of video at the time. And I just remember sitting here on this set filming them, and I would end up having to pause and rewrite their entire script for them, or give them the talking points, or writing out teleprompt boards for them so they knew what to say. And it wasn't just because they were camera shy. They genuinely didn't have the self-awareness around what their business actually stood for and how they wanted to show up in the world. And I remember thinking, how the hell is this possible? You live in this business every freaking day, and you can't tell your own story. That's when it hit me. There was a bridge between how people understood themselves and how they were perceived by others. This bridge was big in some cases. And more importantly, how they were presenting themselves to the world, that perception. You know, perception is reality, right? You really have to pay attention to what your clients think about you, not just what you think about you, right? And most of these people that I was working with early on this day, they were standing on one side of this bridge, yelling across it at the top of their lungs, and it was just landing nowhere, right? They weren't speaking to anyone in particular, because nobody could really understand exactly what they were saying. Common problem I see even today. So this is usually the moment, if you're listening, when people start to get a little bit uncomfortable, as you know, I've sort of replicated this before. And it's because if you can't tell the story of your business, if you don't know any of the things that I just talked about, what you believe in, it's usually because you can't tell the story of yourself, or you're uncomfortable doing it, right? There's a lot of psychology behind that. I won't digress. So if you're sitting here thinking, holy shit, I thought this was going to be about branding, but this is actually about me and my patterns and psychology, and there's some Carl Jung mixed in, and there is in a minute, you ain't wrong. So let me continue. Because the thing of it is I didn't understand any of that either. I was sort of in the same boat early on in my process, and I'm going to get there right now. When I talk about patterns, and I referenced that earlier in the conversation, what I'm really talking about are loops, right? Loops are the things that you keep living without realizing that you're repeating them over and over and over again. And they don't announce themselves as patterns, right? Half the time, we're not even aware of them. They show up sort of disguised as this circumstantial evidence. And if you pause long enough, if you reflect long enough and actually think about your life and the things that are looping, if you make a journal of this tonight, you'll start to see that there are circumstantial evidence to support this, right? And it's a crazy thing, because if you dive into neuroscience and psychology, which I have spent the last 10 years doing, neuroscience has long known that the brain, our thinking, is a prediction machine. It's a prediction machine. It tries to anticipate and make things safe for us, the fight or flight, right? And it prioritizes what's familiar, because familiarity feels safe. Again, that fight or flight. We're designed to stay in a safe space. Uncomfortable makes us scared. It sort of kicks in. It's like, okay, what's going on? This isn't normal. And even though this feels familiar and safe, it's very limiting to us, right? We all know that we grow through courageous acts. We grow through fire. We grow through building things around. We don't grow through comfort, right? And I won't digress into that. So anyway, at the time when I started reflecting about the same thing, my life has been one big inflection point the last 10 years or so. It's kind of bonkers to believe where I was and where I am, and hopefully where I'm going, right? But anyhow, I remember at the time that it's exactly how my life felt. Relationships that didn't work out, there were many of them. Divorced at 13, or 13 years, sorry, 2000. I wasn't married at 13, sorry. I'm not one of those people. But I got divorced in 2013, and then I started getting in and out of these relationships, not taking any time to be by myself, yada, yada, yada. We don't need to break me down there. But anyhow, relationships that didn't work out, businesses that were hit ceilings. Remember, this is not my first rodeo either. Projects that kept stalling, partnerships that dissolved. I've been in several opportunities where I was an investor or been involved in different types of businesses with other people. And each of these things sort of felt separate, like they were siloed at the time. Reasonable, easy to explain away. And I was very, very good at explaining things away, right? That was one of my core competencies early on. It's everyone else's fault. How could it be me, right? I'm smart, I'm intelligent, I'm self-aware. Wrong timing, wrong person, bad fit, market conditions, stress, burnout. The list is endless, right? We all have our excuses why it's someone else's fault or because we haven't taken the time to inflect and develop self-awareness of our own, right? And every explanation that I would give myself sounded logical. It sounded so logical that I would never question anything that lived underneath it. In fact, it's probably safe to say I didn't ever realize there was anything underneath all of that, right? We sort of get caught in these linear trajectories if we're not careful, and we get on these treadmills, and we just start as like the whole idea of like having a purpose and a single-minded purpose, and that's good to some extent, but if we're not willing to sort of look around while we're in that purpose train, we have a tendency to sort of get tunnel vision around it. So anyhow, I digress again. I was running what I now call a blissfully unaware treadmill of life. It's like those automaton walkways in airports, and you just get on them and you never get off, right? And it's just kind of crazy because once you get on those treadmills, you sort of get into these patterns again. You stay busy, you stay productive, you keep moving forward, forward facing, always moving, always building, never slowing down long enough to notice that there are themes, the same looping themes, that are showing up in different forms over and over and over. And from the outside, again, from the outside, social media now, things look just fine. Some would even say that things were quite successful. I was making money. I was building client bases. But from the inside, for me, deep down inside, something felt off. And it wasn't enough to sort of stop me, to sort of have that inflection at the time. But it was enough to kind of linger. You ever get those itches in your ears? And you can't quite define where they're coming from, but there's like this slight little itch. Maybe it's just me. But you can't get the scratch out, right? And so I didn't stop. I just kept going, right? And what ensued was sort of similar to what I just explained. My relationships kept following familiar rhythms. My businesses grew, but only to a certain point. I kept hitting these ceilings, financial, emotional, client-wise, etc. I was attracting the wrong type of people into my business. The same emotional friction kept showing up in different rooms with different faces. And the funny thing about it is, this doesn't just pertain to your business. This is all over the place. This is a holistic impact from how you show up in personal relationships to how you show up as a parent to how you show up as to your romantic partner to how you show up in business to your business partners to your clients. All of these things, this same emotional friction just kept showing up, and you have limited outputs when that happens, right? And so instead of seeing a loop, again, this is back on me, instead of seeing this loop, I just kept treating it like a series of isolated failures. And there's like, we don't need to unpack that, but I kept sort of not understanding why these things kept happening. And it wasn't until much later, right? I'm going to fast forward a few years. After a lot of repetition, a lot of exhaustion, a lot of quiet disappointment, a lot of therapy. I have a lot of therapy friends. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I do have a lot of therapy friends. And I started hiring personal coaches. This is how I got into the coaching space. I had never had a coach before. And I won't go into too many details on this, but I never had a father in the sense of a traditional father. My father was very abusive, and we'll go into that in a minute. So I never really had any male figures or mentors in my life. And so I started doing all of this self-work and hiring coaches and getting into therapy. And I literally did everything. You name it, I've done it, from astrology to human design to Enneagrams to, again, therapy. But I've literally explored everything, all in this perpetual persistent quest to unpack who I am and how I show up in the world and what I believe the world to be, and then spending ardent, disciplined time to re-engineer that and reprogram that. And I'll get into that in a second. And at first, you know, we can sort of take a step back from that for a second, and then we can look at all that and we say, oh, maybe we're just unlucky, or maybe we're just, you know, we're destined to be poor, or maybe we're destined to not have friends, or maybe we're destined to not have good relationships. But the problem is that if you don't examine what that means and what all of those implications that are happening in your life in these recurring loops, whether it's scarcity, whether it's imposter syndrome, whether it's financial, the inability to break through a financial ceiling, if those stay unexamined, you're never going to have an opportunity to address them and grow, right? And again, everything that happens inside here is a reflection to everything you're experiencing out there. And we'll get into that in a second. One of my favorite authors and psychologist, Carl Jung, if you haven't read him, I'm sure you've heard of him. He says, until you make the unconscious conscious, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. I was calling everything that was happening to me fate because I had never had anybody break this down in a existential, esoteric capacity for me so that I could really understand what life was all about. And what happened is that realization, when I started doing this work, when I started hiring these coaches, when I started doing this therapy work, when I started journaling, when I started establishing these morning rituals and these afternoon patterns and spending more time on understanding me and how I operated, the realization hit me and the blame game for me stopped. That was the first time in my life, and I can remember the moment where I had an experience, and I get a little bit emotional, but I had an experience where prior to that, I would have pointed fingers. And I just remember thinking, bro, your coach said something to you recently that you always have a choice in how you respond to every situation. How are you going to respond right now in this situation? And I could have gone one of two ways. I could have gone reverted to old Devo, or I could have said, let's take a new renaissance, more proactive approach and see if we can change the inflection here and change how I respond. Because in every single response you make, there is an infinite number of multiple choices that will present themselves to you. That is life, the meaning of life itself, right? And when I stopped asking, why does this keep happening to me? And started asking, what am I carrying into these situations? What's my role in all of this? What choices could I possibly make that are different than the ones I've made before? Everything began to make more sense to me. It was literally, you hear about those light bulb epiphany moments, and it wasn't just like one thing. It was like an ongoing light bulb. So anyway, the way I related to people, the way I worked, the way I pushed, the way I avoided, the way I tied my worth to performance, they all changed. And it was all rooted in this worldview that I had been carrying most of my life. And it was shaped by how I grew up in a highly dysfunctional and abusive home, how I learned to cope, how I learned to stay safe, how I learned to be valuable, etc. And without realizing it, I had built my entire life, my relationships, and everything began to change from that place the entire time forward. Unconsciously, unintentionally, but very, very consistently. And let me tell you, you don't exit loops by running faster. You exit them by becoming more aware that you're in one. And awareness is where change actually begins. So, programming doesn't announce itself. It quietly shapes how you move through the world, how you respond under pressure, how you handle conflict, how you handle boundaries, how you set price for your work, how you lead, how you relate. And for a long time, I believed I was choosing my patterns, but I wasn't. I was reenacting them. Gabor Mate says that trauma isn't what happened to you. It's what happens inside you as a result. And once I saw that, I started seeing it everywhere. And that's how I got into the work that I'm doing, helping people become unstuck, clarify their message, understand who they are, and then build these internal identities that no longer match them and reprogram for someone who they ultimately wanted to become. And that's the work. That's the work always. It never ends. So if you are at that inflection point where personal development and professional alignment intersect, your work will express who you are. Your brand carries your worldview. Your business marries your internal architecture. And everything you do internally is a reflection for how you show up outside in the world. Okay? I'm running out of time. I thought this was going to be a little bit shorter. If you would like to connect with me afterwards and talk about this further, happy to do that. And I have 15 seconds, so I'm being told that I have to get off the stage. I had more to this. Anyway, your brand no longer has to be forced. Okay? Think about that. You can emerge as...
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. the journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.